This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not substitute for professional medical advice. Please seek a medical professional or healthcare provider if you're seeking any medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Thanks, everyone.
Before we start today's episode, we're going to be talking about our new sponsor.
Yes.
And this is Freed AI.
Have you heard of Freed AI?
I have. And it sounds like an amazing product.
Yes.
Because Lord knows that I spend all my time doing my notes.
All the time.
And my charting and documentation and coding and everything. And then I get frustrated when other people don't do the same thing.
Exactly.
So,
and then you're not spending enough time with the patient or at home because you're like trying to catch up.
Yes. I'm always just stuck on charts. And that's that. I really try not to be looking at my computer when I'm talking to a patient. But it's really hard because once that patient leaves the room, I have to sit down and chart everything or go back home. Put down the party.
Yep.
Right? And then in bed, start charting. And I'm constantly like, did they say this? Or they did say that? So then I kind of summarize everything. But it's so nice to just have something that literally transcribes everything in the moment before the patient even walks out of the room. That's you already amazing. Have your documentation ready to go.
Exactly. That's amazing. And I remember also from my husband when he was working at a clinic, he would be back home and just spend so much time just charting away with his little like notes and then putting them into the EMR and stuff like that. So, which is great because when I spoke with Freed AI, it kind of came from that story where her husband, his name is Erez, he's a computer engineer and he created this for Freed AI because his wife was just spending so much additional time, you know, trying to chart away and keep up with the workload and whatnot. So it's a great product. It's being used right now with more than 12,000 clinicians in every specialty. There's over 1 million notes that are written each month using Freed. Of course, it's HIPAA compliant, so you don't have to worry about protecting your patient's safety, which is obviously very important. Yes.
And also, it works as a scribe.
Exactly.
Right? And there are a lot of clinics and hospitals that use scribes. However, I can say through experience, it's very hard even with a scribe because at the end of the day, you're not the person writing that note. So maybe something that a patient said might be transcribed by that person in a different way.
Right.
So it's really difficult because then sometimes you have to double back to fix those notes.
Makes sense.
So more time. And then also, it was always a bad day when my scribe would call out or quit on me.
Which obviously would not happen.
That would not happen here. Exactly. And also, I will say as well, which I think is brilliant, is that not only does it cover across all specialties, but it covers different languages.
Oh, yes.
So for me, wonderful. I have a high Spanish-speaking patient population.
Yes.
So I was always worried that even if we had one of these systems, I wouldn't really get the benefits of it because half of my visits, or more than half, almost 100% of my visits are mostly in Spanish.
Yeah.
Right? So then I would say, what's the point in having these things or these systems that can transcribe if they can't even transcribe in Spanish? It's amazing because Freed AI can work through various languages. So it's not just Spanish, English. You know, they have multiple others. Which is amazing.
It's wonderful. I mean, it just obviously it just takes off so much of that burden of like and so much of that stress of like, you know, okay, let me try to remember that. Let me chicken scratch that so I don't forget that important thing to put in their chart afterwards or whenever I could get to it. It's a wonderful system. It takes less than 30 seconds to get it up and running. So it's not something that you have to spend so much time learning and trying to get used to it and whatnot.
Very user-friendly.
Very user-friendly, easy to use.
I can say personally, every time that someone introduces a new system to me, I'm like,
of course.
Here we go. I'm going to have to sit through a whole entire day of training and it's going to like back me up into my day. And no, it's very user-friendly.
Not the case here. So that on its own is a huge benefit as well, just to get it up and running.
I also think it's fantastic that this came from two people that are experienced with this charting and the world of charting and how much time it can take away from your personal life. So it's very tailored and it doesn't come from someone that has never been in a clinic, has never done charting before. And I think that that is a perspective that is so important. And it's really unique to Freed AI.
Absolutely. So go ahead and give it a try. You can try 10 notes for free. And after that, it costs $99 a month. But you could also try Freed AI using our code FUNNY50. And you would have to go to getfreed.ai. And so let me just spell that out for you. GetFreed.ai. And user code FUNNY50 for $50 off your first month.
And trust me, it is worth it.
It's wonderful. Give that a shot. And now back to the episode.
Yes. Yes.
Anyway, we're here like scheduling, doing all the things at the same time because we barely have time. And then like the little bit of time that we do have, we are recording.
Yes, we are recording. Exactly.
Anyway, so today we're talking about something very random. But very interesting.
It's interesting. I feel that it's something that when people talk about weird medical things, they always bring this up.
Yeah.
Elephantitis. Yeah. If you don't know what elephantitis is, we're going to dive into that right now. But it's that typical picture of the person sitting and having like massive swollen limbs.
Yeah. Which is interesting that you were the one that brought up this topic, given how much you hate parasites.
I hate parasites. I just do a prim. Like, you know, like when you have a little sheep. I just ship print now. I think it's interesting, but I hate it so much with the passion. I could never watch that show,
Monsters Inside Me. Yeah.
Never. Ever. Yeah. And any time that I'm scrolling through, like, you know, TikTok or Instagram or something, and I see anything remotely related to a parasite or larva or something like that, I keep scrolling. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Yeah. I don't want to see it. I don't want to do anything.
I'm glad that we're... at least in my TikTok feed, like, we're over that trend of the parasites and the removal. Remember when I was like, whoa, you went on a whole real hard, like, passionate stance on, like, the Target lady.
Oh, yeah, the Target. Speaking of one. Too many guys tried on the Target girl.
Back to a few episodes on that.
Like, talk about clickbait.
Exactly. Like, but it was, like, trending hard on it.
Of course it was.
TikTok, you know.
So was eating boric acid.
Ugh. It's kind of a stupidity.
It's so crazy. Like, don't get me wrong. I think TikTok has really brought a lot of positivity into this world. But the one thing I feel that has been negative is that people have lost their how can I explain it? I think there's a lot of people that have lost their need for integrity on the app.
Yeah,
so if I pop up and I say the sky is gray,
people are going to start wondering.
People are going to start wondering.
Yeah.
You know,
instead of like automatically being like, no.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
So I feel that is one of the biggest problems that I've seen with TikTok is that it's lost a lot of integrity.
Yeah.
Because like
anybody could go and say whatever they want.
Exactly.
You know,
but here we are. Podcasts like us. That we are
integrity.
Yes, we are trying to keep our integrity. We're trying to do everything that is evidence-based.
Yes.
Even if it's something that's new.
Yes.
Things that are trending. We talk about it so that people learn about it.
We debunk.
And we debunk a lot as well.
Yes.
So, sorry. Went on a tangent. All right. Elephantitis. We fight elephantitis.
I also was
get
wondering,
off my soapbox.
Oh, I understand how we got there because of the parasites.
Yeah, the parasites.
And then TikTok.
And then TikTok. And then
there we went off. All right.
Exactly.
I always like to, like, how did we get there?
Yeah, exactly. If you don't know us by now, this is Julia.
Welcome.
And Evie. And we go on a lot of tangents
big
on
time.
Our shows.
I feel like this show is sponsored or and fueled by caffeine and ADHD tangents.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
You know, it's just like having a little conversation with us. No big deal.
I mean, it's a podcast, right?
We'll eventually get back to the main point of the topic.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't even started it and we're like 6 minutes in, but hey.
Okay. All right. Let's get things started. So what is elephantitis?
What is it?
So elephantitis is a medically termed lymphatic filariasis. Okay.
Yummy.
Yeah. So filariasis is a parasite. Okay. And it's a tropical parasitic infection that affects the body's lymphatic system, pretty much a crucial network responsible for circulating lymph fluid and removing toxins from tissues. So think about like when you have a little bit of swelling and things like that, your lymphatic system is really is what picking up all that extra fluid and tissue and toxins.
That is trending.
Yeah. When this system is blocked by a parasitic worm, Julie's going to say something.
That's what I was saying before this happens. That is a new trending thing. Lymphatic drainage.
Oh, lymphatic drainage. Yeah. You know, gua sha, blah, blah, blah.
And people are doing really weird things with their ears. Have you seen that? Like, it's like pretty much like they're like bending it like this because apparently it's like a Korean beauty trend or something. And then this is supposed to help you drain like your lymphatics.
Sure.
Exactly.
I'm just like, go on.
Yeah.
As long as it's not something that's going to carry you, can do whatever you want.
I mean, that hurts. Just me doing that. And people are like putting like ligas, like freaking.
I do believe in the lymphatic system. I do believe in drainage. I do believe that there's a lot of exercises that you can do to improve that. And the more you drain, the more you're like really like getting rid of all these toxins and everything. But there are certain things that I question.
Yeah, like twisting your ears. I don't know how effective that would be. Anyway, so yeah, that's that. So if you see that on TikTok, that's what we're talking about, that lymphatic drainage situation.
Yeah. So when the system, our bodies, is blocked by a parasitic worm, fluid accumulates, causing intense swelling and a thickening of the skin, often making the legs resemble an elephant skin. So though it can affect different parts of the body, the most common sites of swelling are legs, arms, genitals, and occasionally the breasts as well.
So interesting. Like it's like those locations, right?
Yeah. And that's where we have a lot of our lymphatic vessels.
Yeah.
So obviously if that is going to be obstructed in any way, then that is where the swelling or most of the symptoms are going to present.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the disease, beyond being physically painful, often comes with a heavy social stigma due to its visible symptoms. Affected individuals may face social isolation and economic hardships because this swelling restricts their mobility. And in many cultures, the deformities like these are misunderstood and kind of feared. Like, oh, whoa, what's going on with that person?
Yeah.
Obviously not normal. Don't stare. There's obviously something going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty sad that there's a lot of people that really can be very conscious, like self-conscious about this.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be too. Let's be real.
So history. A little bit of the history on it.
Yay, history. Jules is gonna give us a history lesson like she always does.
It's just like, I don't know, I kind of like giving
no this is great a, I like this. I like
a little bit of a foundation to
I never really got
about.
This in medical school, you
That's
know
why.
I just I like, learned it and they're like learn it because I, yes because right. giants
right and it's like but why? Because.
Yeah.
Because what?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. At least that's how I am.
Yeah.
And this is going to make you laugh too.
I already saw the movie. We're going to talk about Egypt.
When I wrote this down, I'm like, she's going to love this.
Just go look at what Julie was for Halloween.
Exactly. Anyway, so historically, elephantitis was described in ancient medical texts from Egypt, India, and Greece.
Yes.
She hates me. Dating as far back as 2000 BC. All right. So this is a very old disease. All right. Ancient Greek physician Hippocrates even described a similar condition, though he didn't understand the underlying cause. In many cultures, elephantitis was thought to be a curse or punishment from the gods, while others believed it to be an imbalance of bodily humors, which is something that back then they thought, like, that humors existed in the body. And then if you unregulated or something was unbalanced, that's why you were sick.
Yeah, you know, so, exactly.
Pretty much. So it wasn't until the late 19th century that scientists discovered that the cause was parasitic worms transmitted by mosquitoes. British physician Sir Patrick Manson, often called the father of tropical medicine, was instrumental in uncovering this link, leading to more targeted treatment approaches. This discovery marked a turning point in tropical disease research, particularly in vector-borne diseases, laying the foundation for preventative strategies.
Yes. And it's crazy, like, just, this is my biology mind, right? Not my medical mind, my biology mind. I think about this, and others out there, just hear me out. Just open your brain like me.
Come to this
journey. How crazy is that this parasite has lived this long?
That I was just going to say that. We're talking about 2000 BC.
Yes. We're talking about, like, my brain is like thinking in evolution, like biology evolution. This is a really old,
very successful parasite.
Parasite.
Yeah.
Yes. It's so crazy to me
that it's been able to just continually be transmitted and transmitted to survive all that time. We've had animals extinct since then to now.
Exactly.
Yet this...
But that's a parasite, right? It like thrives on a host.
Yeah. But like, there's been so many diseases, viruses and stuff like that, that they're stuck in the Permia for us. And now with climate change, they might come back, but that's a whole different tangent.
Yeah, you exactly.
know? So, you know, but this one hasn't gone anywhere. It's been around constantly.
I know. Pretty crazy. I know. Pretty crazy. Okay.
So transmission.
Shut off biological mind. Okay.
Us going into the tangents.
Yeah. So transmission. Elephantitis. You know what? Actually, Jules, you could do this part because you took a whole entire class on parasitology.
Yeah.
And you could talk about this.
You don't want to cringe anymore.
I purposely did not take that class.
I took it with Victor. We had a great time.
No, I'm on time. I still regret that decision.
Victor's her younger brother, by the way. That's literally her, but male form. It's crazy. All right, so how much time in a day, a week, what have you, do you have to carve out either morning, afternoon, whatever it is, to go to an actual gym or a place to work out?
Not a lot.
Exactly. I figured.
Between work, life, mom life.
Yeah.
Everything that goes along with that. Life. I don't have time. I literally, when I go work out, I need to go and someone needs to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Because if not, I will be there for 3 hours and it would be the most inefficient workout ever.
Exactly. You need somebody to lead you and to just make sense of that what you're doing actually is going to work for
and,
what you want.
And it's actually going to, give me progress and results.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. If not, I feel like I'll just be looking at the machine and like, I guess I should do it.
Yeah. And then sometimes there's the situation where I don't have time, right? And then when let's say I do have time or someone else has time and you go to the gym, it's like, how many times do you go and you look at a machine and you just question and then you turn away and then you just go to the treadmill.
Yep. Happens to me all the freaking time.
Yeah, and because like, cardio is great, but weight training, we all know with all the research and the science that's coming out, we need to do weight training.
Exactly. And then it's like, how much of it do you need to do? How much are you doing too much, doing too little?
Little.
Yeah. All those things. And then you're like, well, you could get a personal trainer, but those are pretty pricey.
Yeah.
You know? And you
so
also have to schedule them.
And 20 minutes. Yep. So whatever you don't do in those 20 minutes, goodbye.
Yeah.
Not saying that all personal training is like that, but most of the time it is, especially if you do go to a gym.
But we actually discovered Alpha Progression, and it's an app. It's a no BS training for muscle growth specifically. Alpha Progression is the go-to app for anyone trying to train, maximize muscle gain. And they are focused 100% on that. And it's science-based, which we love.
Which is great because everything should be backed up by evidence, not just someone without any credentials or any references or anything just telling you, oh, yeah, this is what you need to do because blah.
Injuries could happen, you know?
And that's what we want to avoid, right?
Exactly.
We don't want to get injured so that we go in this terrible cycle of went to the gym, tried it, didn't work out for me, ended up in an injury.
It was developed by serious lifters with personal training and competitive bodybuilding backgrounds as well.
Alpha Progression has been recognized twice as App of the Day on Apple. Yeah. Just think about it, how many apps are out there, and they've been featured twice as App of the Day. Also, it's one of the top rated fitness apps in Germany. For those of you that don't know, Germany has a huge fitness culture, and they've recently started to expand to other places, which is great because hello, obesity in the United States.
Yep.
Welcome.
Exactly.
Give it to us.
Exactly. So it's one of the most intuitive workout loggers. So users love the UI, and constantly it tells them how easy it is to use. And even though it's packed with features, making it ideal tool for both novices and seasoned trainers. So even if you're like, well, how much do I actually need this? I've been working out for years. It will probably show you something that you didn't know, or how much of something you should be doing, etc., according to your actual level in working out. Because again, it's science-based.
Also, when you put in all your information, obviously your height, your weight, how active you are, they also take into consideration what machines you have. What don't you have? Do you have anything at all?
Yeah.
So it's really very much tailored to the person that is doing the workouts. It's all made from scratch. So you have your own plans. It's really quality wise that our plans measure up to the best personal trainers in the world.
They had a coach that charges $500 a month do the app, and it told them he would have done exactly the same thing.
Exactly.
Another big thing about the app is that strength training is all about progression, right? So then their actual algorithm analyzes past performances and gives recommendations for weight reps in every set. This obviously will guarantee long-term success, and you won't be in those plateaus or anything like that. Obviously, it sounds so great. How much is it, right? So the pro version is $12.99, and this is in USD per month, or $79.99 for a whole year. But you also could just give it a try with a 2-week free trial. And since you're listening to this, customers get 20% off their first payment using the link alphaprogression.com/funnymed. And I will put it here for anybody watching this on YouTube. Give that a shot. And you get 20% off, and you have 2 free weeks.
Yeah.
So,
and it's a great app.
It is.
Again, backed by science. Tailored to you, constantly measuring your progression so that it sets you up for succession and you're never going to hit those plateaus.
So check it out. And yeah, let's go back to the episode. Anyway, so elephantitis or lymphatic filariasis, did I say that right? I'm not sure, is transmitted through bites of infected mosquitoes, which act as carriers for the parasitic worms responsible for the disease. So a little bit of how this transmission process, like, takes place. So mosquito, right? When a mosquito bites a person already infected with parasites, typically, you're saying that. Wuchereria bancrofti.
Wuchereria bancrofti.
Yeah. I didn't have to say any of these words when I took those tests. I just have to, like, you know.
Wuchereria.
Yeah. I mean,
it actually brings back a lot of, like, really funny memories of us just, like, reading, like, really, really weird words.
In biology.
Yeah. And we're like, thank God we don't have, like, an oral exam.
Fuck yeah. I would have failed every single one. Yeah. And they'd be like, what are you trying to say? Anyway, so that. The next one is Brugia malayi. No.
Brugia timori.
Well, I was here.
Oh, sorry. No. Brugia malayi. Yeah, malayi. Yeah.
And then the other one that she said, the timori.
Brugia timori, yeah.
Cool. It ingests...
But the Wuchereria bancrofti is, I feel like, the most common one talked about.
That's the one I remember from, like, class.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it ingests a microscopic larvae called microfilariae. Wow, I haven't said that word in a very long time, clearly. Circulating in the person's bloodstream. So the development in the mosquito once it gets that larvae, right? So inside the mosquito, this microfilariae. I cannot say that. So you're taking over that one. Maybe that's why I wanted you to read this part. But anyway, so these little things mature over a period of 10 to 12 days, developing into infective larvae.
Here is where I start to cringe.
Exactly. So then these infective mature larvae migrate to the mosquito's proboscis, which is like the little sucker, the mouth part.
I'm dying already.
Where they are ready to be transmitted to another human host. So how does it do that? When the infected mosquito bites another person, the larvae enters the host skin through the bite wound and eventually find their way into the lymphatic system of that human host.
I want to throw up. I'm at a point of vomit. Emesis. Emesis approaching.
So once in there, growth and blockages take place in the lymphatic system. So inside the human host, the larvae mature into adult worms over several months. They settle in the lymphatic vessels and nodes where they can live for 5 to 7 years, okay? Producing millions of microvilli, that word, that circulate in the blood system, continuing the transmission cycle when other mosquitoes bite the host. So you see how it's a very perfect cycle, you know, of just continuing. So the disease often requires repeated mosquito bites over a prolonged period to cause symptoms, which is why it is more common in areas where mosquitoes are abundant and exposure is continuous. So warm, tropical climates, all that.
If there was one animal on this earth, what would it be that you could just vanish?
Sure. Well, yeah, mosquitoes is definitely one of them because they're the most harmful, but spiders.
Okay. My are mosquitoes and roaches.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I could just...
Yeah. Roaches are fucking gross. They're
yeah,
vile.
If I could just poof, like nothing, just go away.
Yeah.
It would be those two.
Yeah.
And if I had to pick one or the other...
I would literally only pick mosquitoes because they could make me sick like they did when I got the chikungunya. Which, fuck that mosquito.
No, that's a really hard choice for me. I think it would be. I think I would get rid of roaches.
Because I feel like the roaches...
I could just get like spray and just spray myself.
Yeah.
But there's no human spray for roaches.
No, it's just going to be in your kitchen.
You know what? Let's not talk about that. Because I will literally...
At 3 a.m. when you're least expecting it.
I die.
At least they're not the Grenadian ones that we had experienced.
No, they fly. No.
They would actually... Those fuckers flew. They were just like... I'm like, what is that? Oh, it's a roach. It's a fly roach.
If anything, first of all, if anything comes flying at me, I'm gonna have a stroke. But if a roach flies at me,
and they're big, they're like the Florida roaches. But the Florida roaches here, for some reason, they don't fly. They're idiots. The ones in Grenada, they would catch flight.
Yeah, no, no thanks.
I'm not sure how or why, but anyway.
All right, symptoms of elephantiasis. So elephantiasis symptoms progress through 3 stages. It's the early, middle, and advanced stage. The early stage, patients may feel slight swelling in the affected area, an aching sensation, and possibly some fever or chills. Lymph nodes may become a little bit tender. Then you have the middle stage where the affected limb or body part, leggings. The affected limb or body parts begin to swell noticeably. Repeated skin infections can occur, leading to redness, thickening, and flaking skin. Then you have the last stage. What is that?
It's his stupid little whistle that he found. I honestly have never... I have never seen that whistle in my life. I don't know where he found it.
God damn it. Who knows?
And of course, he had to find it today when we're recording.
Yeah. And then the final stage is the advanced stage. This is that one that's like, you know, that obvious symptom of swelling. So extreme swelling and irreversible changes to the skin texture, thickness, and elasticity, making it look like that typical elephant skin. Mobility in the affected area can also become pretty limited because of all that significant swelling. And then secondary bacterial infections are common due to skin fissures and reduced immune responses. So basically, your skin is so taut, it's so stretched out, it's so swollen that it starts actually creating fissures in it, which is extremely painful and prone to infection.
Of course. And it kind of then, I feel like it would increase in transmission too, right? Because that's an infected
limb. Well, yeah, because it's an infected limb. So let's just say you just had something come and land on there, then that's an open wound.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. My God.
Then this swelling is not, it doesn't only affect the physical health, but also impacts mental health.
Yeah.
As patients often feel like, you know, they're just at a loss of like independence, dignity, affecting their relationships and economic productivity. If you see the final stages of this, you will understand it is so much swelling that they cannot even move.
Yeah, yeah. And it's painful. You're in constant pain.
Terrible.
So prevalence, how common is this? Because it sounds absolutely horrible and super scary, right? Elephantiasis affects approximately 120 million people globally, with over 40 million suffering from advanced cases like that last stage that she was just talking about, And this is all according to the World Health Organization. It's most common in tropical and subtropical regions, especially in sub-Saharan Africa, Southeast Asia, the Pacific Islands, and parts of South America. It's considered a quote-unquote neglected tropical disease because it primarily affects poor communities where access to healthcare and mosquito control is limited. Mass Drug Administration programs by the WHO, World Health Organization, aim to reduce its prevalence, but challenges remain, including limited healthcare infrastructure and the stigma associated with the disease. So you got to think, these are very like third world countries, right? So it's hard to like, some of these like towns, they're like in the middle of effing nowhere. It's hard to get resources out there.
Yeah.
And then we're talking about communities that are very uneducated too. Yeah. In these third world countries, they have no idea. It just looks very horrible to them. And then they'll question like somebody that either has it or the treatment for it too. Yeah. So it's scary. It's all around scary. Even like just treating it is scary. And so how can you prevent it? Preventing elephantiasis is largely about breaking the transmission cycle of the parasitic worms. So some of the key ways that that could happen, mosquito control. Like she said, poof. Gone. If only. Eliminating mosquito breeding grounds using insecticides and educating communities on mosquito control can reduce transmission. Simple measures like using bed nets, applying repellents, and installing window screens are also effective. So in areas with high infection rates, healthcare agencies distribute drugs like ivermectin, albendazole,
diethylcarbamazine.
To kill the parasites before they can spread further. So this mass drug and what is it again? Administration aims to treat entire populations to halt the parasite's life cycle. Because again, if you just like that cycle, that circle, you know, of the development of this larvae and parasite, if you could just stop it in one of its points, then you could pretty much obliterate it in that community. And eventually just, like I said, eliminate the disease. So community education, awareness campaigns, educating on people about the transmission and early symptoms and preventative measures really, really helps dispel all those myths and even the stigma associated, unfortunately, with the disease.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So treatment and cure for elephantiasis. So while there's no quick cure for elephantiasis, there are several treatments to manage the symptoms and reduce the severity. One, medications. Drugs like diethylcarbamazine, or let's just tone it down to DEC, and ivermectin effectively kill the microbabies, right? So that microfilariae, okay, I'm just going to say microbabies.
Yeah, I should have said that because...
Yeah. So effectively kill the microbabies and then reduce the transmission, but may not fully reverse the lymphatic damage. Okay, so you're getting rid of the thing that is causing the disease, but your symptoms may not go away. Mm-hmm. These drugs are distributed in affected areas to actually prevent the disease from even spreading. Medication for elephantiasis such as DEC, ivermectin, albendazole is highly effective for killing the parasites and preventing further spread of the disease. However, it may not fully reverse the lymphatic damage for several reasons. So one, permanent lymphatic system damage, all right? So the adult worms can live in the lymphatic system for years, causing persistent inflammation and blockage. Over time, this chronic inflammation leads to scarring and structural damage to the lymphatic vessel. Even after the parasites are killed, the scarring may actually remain and then permanently disrupting the lymph flow and resulting in long-lasting or irreversible swelling. Yes, you just killed the parasite that's causing the obstruction, mm-hmm. but the thing is that you have just had years of constant chronic inflammation that is going to degrade those lymphatic vessels so that when you do kill that, the damage has already been done.
Yeah.
Again, you can have fibrosis and tissue thickening as well. So repeated infections and inflammations can cause exactly what I just said, like that thickening and hardening of the tissues, which we call fibrosis. And then the fibrosis is not reversible with medication as the tissue changes can become more permanent, contributing to the classic thickened, hardened appearance of the skin.
Which is why they call it elephantitis, because then it looks like that thick skin of an elephant.
Yeah. And then you can also lose that elasticity of the lymph vessels. So these lymphatic vessels rely on elasticity and smooth function to transport this lymph fluid effectively.
So when the vessels are damaged by all of that fibrosis, then they lose that flexibility. So not only their function, but their flexibility, which that can also, you know, just worsen all the symptoms, and medications cannot restore. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can have, and then all of this will resort in something called, not resort, all of this will result in something called chronic lymphedema. So it's just persistent fluid buildup, lymphedema, caused by the lymphatic blockage that doesn't fully resolve even after parasites have been completely removed. So the lymphedema creates a cycle where increased pressure and swelling causes further damage to the lymphatic tissue, maintaining the blockage even after parasites are completely cleared. We did touch upon this a little bit earlier, but because of all of that, you can have secondary infections. So obviously primary infection was that filariasis, and then now secondary infections because of the damage. Once that lymphatic system is damaged, the affected individuals are more prone to secondary bacterial infections, and that can also worsen swelling, tissue changes. Mm-hmm. And then these infections can also contribute to the long-term changes that aren't reversible by antiparasitic medications alone. And then think about that. It's like more medication, right? Antibiotics and all of that that you need for the secondary bacterial infections.
Yeah.
So while medications play a really critical role in the spread and halting and further damage and reducing the transmission, then additional treatments like lymphatic drainage, skin care, and sometimes surgery is often needed to manage the symptoms and improve the quality of life for certain patients in advanced cases.
So a couple of interesting tidbits, just random ones for elephantiasis. In pop culture, elephantiasis has sometimes been misrepresented in movies or folklore as something that affects only certain quote unquote cursed people or is spread through casual contact, which is just not true. You need the mosquito. You need like an open source to like get that those baby parasites into your system. And then the psychosocial impact. The stigma of having elephantiasis can sometimes be as debilitating as the physical symptoms. In some cultures affected, individuals are shunned, leading to severe mental health issues. Community support and awareness can make a huge difference with that. And then organizations like the WHO have been working towards eliminating lymphatic filariasis through this mass drug administration and mosquito control. They're hoping to eradicate the disease in many parts of the world. And that is honestly would be one of the biggest successes if they could actually manage to do that.
Yeah. You know, working at, you know, where I work, I see a lot of people coming in to get healthcare from third world countries. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy. One of the things that I learned that I never knew, okay, is that in third world countries, they just give people albendazole like yearly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like it's, and they'll come to clinic and they're like, hey, it's been 3 years. She hasn't been, you know, deparasitized. And then I was like, at first,
yeah,
I'm like, what does that mean?
That's another thing that you see a lot in TikTok, that it's like people from South America or
yes,
whatever.
Yes, it's just every year they take like a dose of albendazole or a dose of something and then they just.
And it's just not practiced here.
It's not practiced here. Well, we're not a third world country.
Right. Right. That's why, yeah.
So we have a lot more resources and things to do.
And blood tests and stuff.
But I tell patients, I'm like, hey, you know, we can test for parasites and things like that. But truly, it's not practice to just give you albendazole.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And it's so hard for them to comprehend.
I could only imagine.
And any symptom. They could literally have a muscle twitch and they're like, it's a parasite.
Yeah. Yeah.
Grinding teeth. Parasite.
Yes. Oh my God. That is one. Stay tuned for the debunking series that we have ongoing because that is one of them. Yep. The grinding teeth. Some people believe that it's.
It was so much that I had to look up research on it.
Don't say it.
I know. I'm not
just
gonna
stay
it.
Tuned.
Yeah.
And then we'll tell you if it's true or not.
Yeah.
You know. But yes.
But everything
that one
is
very
kind of just like she hasn't been or they haven't been deported.
Migraine. Yeah. I keep having this migraine. Yeah. It's like maybe you're just chronically dehydrated.
Yeah. Or maybe you have a worm in your brain. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Okay, well, that was elephantiasis.
Yeah, that was it. I hope you guys liked it. Definitely check out our Patreon, patreon.com/20minutesandpodcast, where we have episodes like this, over 60 of them, ready and available.
That is crazy.
To you. Exactly. There's two different tiers. There's one tier that is just for audio, and then there's another tier that you could watch them. And you also get these episodes, the video format, a week in advance if you're a Patreon subscriber. So check that out. Also, you get 10% off our merch. So check out our merch.
And we have holiday merch.
It's coming up. It's coming up. So stay tuned for that. But anyways, in the meantime, check out our current merch. Okay. That's already been out there. It's, you know, with our standard.
Our basics?
Our basics merch, you know, which I love. I really do love it. I don't have my hoodie here right now. I have it in the car because I use it all the time. So check out our merch and it's all going to be linked wherever it is that you're watching or listening to this. And we appreciate you all. Thank you for tuning in. If there's anything else that you would like us to cover, check out our socials. We're pretty much everywhere and let us know. And we'll see you on the next one.
Bye.
Like, comment, review us on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, etc.
Check us out on Instagram and TikTok at Funny Medicine Podcast. Our Gmail is funnymedicine305@gmail.com. And remember, we are not diagnosing you.
Definitely not. Just funny stuff.
See you later, guys.